This podcast is for the brave hearts, the black sheep, the rebels. If you're willing to face your fears and optimize your time on this planet, you are among friends. This is the Erin Evans Podcast. Guess what? My ebook is available on Kindle and Kobo, Unraveled, A Modern Look at the Yoga Sutras. I'll put the title in the show notes and the link. It's only 99 cents, and every share, every read, every review helps me immensely. Now for the podcast. I woke up this morning in a particularly foul mood. My child has been sick for 3 days, and that means he's up coughing half the night, which means I'm up. I go get him Buckley's at 3 a.m, and he's angry with me because Buckley's is disgusting, but it works. And I'm already not well rested. Then my washing machine, that's cursed, by the way, has a massive flood, and I'm the only one responsible for cleaning it up and fixing it. Hashtag single mom. I'm cleaning up this huge flood with my limited amount of towels. Hashtag minimalist. Anyway, after I clean up the flood and I send my sick kid to school, hashtag COVID's over, I sit to put pen to paper, and word for word in my journal, I write, am I just spinning my wheels? A lot of the things that I do not bring in an income. My podcasts, my writing, my YouTube videos, my reflections, they're things I do because I absolutely love to do them. But when I'm feeling faint of heart, disconnected, and worried, my narrative is, Erin, you should be actually working. My sister used to joke that I hated working, so I should marry someone rich. She's not wrong. Anyway, I was in this mind state of, fine, then I won't do anything. You know what? If it's not an action that's going to bring home the bacon, then why bother? Then, as the universe would have it, as fate would have it, I felt compelled to pick up the Gita, the Bhagavad Gita, and one of the underpinning teachings of the Gita is that we have a right to our actions, but not to our actions' fruit. So where a person gets deluded and caught, confused, and spinning is when they become obsessed with the validation, the monetary gain of whatever they do in the world. The Gita is one of the primary teachings of yoga philosophy, and it's said that Gandhi used it as a compendium as he worked to free India from the British regime. The Gita is so freaking interesting, and it puts my heart at ease knowing that by taking right action, which is selfless action, as an ordinary person, other people will follow. We are doing the work of the collective, and if we are a microcosm of the collective, if we can fix the dysfunction within our own hearts, we are affecting the greater good of all, which the whole premise of spirituality is to become liberated, free, less tied into the matrix of desires and aversions, of accomplishment and comparison. In order to understand the Gita, there are a few concepts that are crucial and they're metaphysical. What we'll discuss today are karma and dharma, samskara, moksha, purusha, prakriti, and the gunas, which will be the names of my next 7 children. So the first is this idea of karma. Karma is that every action has a reaction, and then that action has a re-reaction. So there's constant implications to what we do. And when we are deluded, when we are driven by desire and attachment, we will act in ways that will continue to create more of the same. So if we can create a mini, micro, teeny weeny little change in the way that we act, we can change our future, we can change the matrix. To change the way we act is to cultivate the pause. It's to listen to this podcast, to read a book that sparks something inside of you. It's anything or anyone that wakes you from your slumber. It is the moment that you give yourself a beat to make a conscious decision not to repeat the exact same storm.
Is for the brave hearts, the black sheep, the rebels. If you're willing to face your fears and optimize your time on this planet, you are among friends. This is the Erin Evans Podcast.
In this particular school of thought, the belief is that we are reincarnated and that we're working through lifetimes of karma. Whether you buy into that or not, karma is looking at yourself in the mirror and asking, where did I fall from grace? And am I acting in accordance with the life that I want to live, the person that I want to be more often? Or am I just reactionary, constantly lashing out, chasing my desires? The second concept, and this is my all-time favorite, is dharma. One's duty, righteous action, or sometimes translated as law. Dharma might be thought of as what you are naturally inclined to do, that which is purposeful based on your skill set. Ram Dass says it so beautifully. He says, whether you're ugly or gorgeous, use it for your dharma. Whether you're rich or poor, use it for your dharma. It is the pull of one's direction in life. Now, at the time that this was written, dharma had two prongs, and the first was Varna Dharma, which meant whatever class you were born into. So whether you were a priest or a scholar, royalty, a warrior, a farmer, a merchant, or a laborer, you had a certain dharma based on the class of your family line. The second prong is Svadharma, which means one's own dharma. The idea is that we use our work, our vocation, to clear karma, to clear patterns and action, in order to get free, to get to God, to get clear. It is said that this is the divine vision of your life. Now, people get stuck here thinking it needs to be audacious and huge. It can be something really simple. And a quote that I love is, whatever you are, be a good one. And in the Gita, he specifically addresses this and says, it is better to do your own dharma badly than to perfectly perform another's. And what this sloka means is, if I am to mimic another person's work, if I am to mirror another person's life, it will lead to insecurity, competition, and comparison, and it's not worth it. The pain of not being Erin is not worth any success that would come for pretending to be someone that I'm not. So next, we start to thread in this concept of samsara. Samsara is the mundane cycle of birth and death. Think of it this way. It's like we're on this roller coaster that we can't get off of, and we are chasing a high. Amazing. We want that sex. We want that job. We want that money. So we chase it. We get it. We have it. And now it's not fulfilling us. So now we're going down. And as we go down, we're avoiding anything else that would make us feel low. And we're reaching for things that'll make us feel better than we do. And so this cycle continues of chasing a dangling carrot, avoiding something that we don't want, and it is hell. It is hell on earth. And the point of a spiritual practice is to get off the freaking wheel of chasing the highs and the lows.
It's to develop a steady demeanor, knowing that the good will pass and the bad will pass. And when this occurs, when we're able to clear up our karma, follow our dharma, and get off the nasty wheel of samskara that has us buying into our aversions and our attachments and desires, we reach moksha, which is liberation or the release from that permanent perpetual cycle of grasping with the sense organs. Now that we have a picture of karma, action, endless action that has reaction, dharma, our personal duty, samsara, the wheel of suffering, moksha, liberation from that perpetual state, now we move on to the nature of the Samkhya philosophy, which is in the Gita, it's in the Yoga Sutras, and it's an Indian school of thought called Samkhya, sometimes spelt with an M, sometimes spelt with an N. Figure it out, guys. And the idea is that we are living in a dualistic reality, meaning there are two things happening at once. We've got the material world, and I am a material girl, which is anything that has a birth, life, and death cycle. My body, your body, the seasons, the chair that you're sitting on, the food you're about to eat. And the material world in Sanskrit is prakriti. So every idea, every action, every love affair is of this material plane because it has a spark where it comes to life, a life, and a death. So this is happening all around us. And our mind, our thinking faculties, are considered a part of the manifest world. And everything in the manifest world is always in flux. The pain comes when a person identifies as the material world. Said another way, when I believe I am my physical body that is decaying and dying, no offense, so is yours, I will be pretty sad, apathetic, lethargic, why bother? When I identify with the material world of my job, the number in my bank account, and it somehow doesn't meet my expectations, well, now I'm suffering. The opposite is true, that if I identify with the material world, so I believe that I am the number in my bank account, I love it, the person who loves me, I love that, or that I'm a 10 out of 10 smoke show, and I love that, everything in the material world is always changing. So to place my vote on something as superficial as that isn't deep enough, and eventually leads to the pendulum swing of pain when my body starts to change, the person that I'm having this romantic love affair with starts to change, I then am left at the whims of samsara, that wheel of suffering. The quote that so eloquently sums this up in the Gita says, "Alike in cold and heat, pleasure and pain, praise and blame. The yogi has an equal mind." Meaning there is a sense of neutrality because we know that with pleasure comes attachment and addiction, and with pain comes an aversion to or an avoidance of. So how does one reach this state of equal mind? This is where Purusha comes in, the other side of the dualistic philosophy of Samkhya thought. Purusha is person, Atman, self, or consciousness. And it is said to be the spark within us that animates who we are, our soul. So the physical body and the thinking mind are matter, but there's a part of you that is eternal, everless, never changing, and unshakable. The Purusha, and in the Gita, there's this discussion of when we die, we give our body away and we are adorned with new clothes. We get a new body. We get a new incarnation. But when we start to realize that we are so much more than this physical container or the money in the bank account, we have a stronger spiritual backbone, so to speak. The Atman is the godlike consciousness within you, the potency within you, the force that animates the seasons that is inside of you. So the final concept, I know this is heavy, is that in the material world, in Prakriti, because it is always in flux, it is moving because of the gunas. The gunas translate as strand or quality. There are three gunas. The first, which should be my middle name, is Rajas, and it is fiery action, productivity, anger, drive, constant movement associated with the color red. We've got Tomas, which is heavy, lethargic, apathetic, dense, maybe lazy. And the third quality is sattva. So a quality of peace, illumination, euphoria. And these are the three things, qualities that drive everything in the material world. Think about it. You might fall in love haphazardly on a moment's notice where you are euphoric, you didn't plan it, you just stumbled upon one another. This relationship is birthed out of sattva, the quality of peace. You are desperate to get attention at work. You start to hustle and get crazy productive, and you wonder, what can I do that will get me noticed and make me a lot of money? You devise a plan for a marketing strategy that will build your business and gain huge traction in the global market. That is driven by Rajas Guna. It is the holidays, and you are going to visit your family begrudgingly. You prepare the baked goods even though you don't want to. You last minute pack your bag, your hair is greasy, to go to visit your family. This is driven by Tomas Guna. Now, there is no hierarchy to the energy or quality with which an action is taken. But in our heart of hearts, we know that when we are sattvic, at peace, equanimous, neither for nor against, everything seems to work out better. So our entire life is starting to get set up in a way where we can weave our peace, our contentment, our ease into every single action that we take. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And every time we get caught up in the cultured ideas of monetary gain, every person for themselves, we lose the plot. Come back to your sacred heart. Come back to your spiritual backbone. There is something inside of you so much stronger and untouchable. That is you. I hope you liked what you heard. If you want to share this with a friend, I'd love it. Otherwise, until next time, do one action today, regardless of the outcome. Act for the action alone.